This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Becoming a mom wasn't taboo, so why are the conversations? Having the space to be transparent and keeping the conversations real, highlighting women who are making motherhood and business work, all while making an impact. I'm your host, Antonia, and welcome to Talk Space & Co. Conversations for dope moms and company. Hello, company. And if you know, then you know we are starting off today's episode with the review of the week. The review of the week comes from Unfiltered Mom. This episode was amazing. Love listening to the podcast. I personally love listening to the show in the morning, and I use that as a part of my morning routine. Great podcast, motivational. Thank you so much for your review and tuning in, and I'm glad it's been a source or some type of motivation for you as you start your morning. Today's episode, we have Alchemia. Alchemia is a holistic health and wellness coach, certified master energy practitioner, and spiritual alchemist. She has practiced and preached plant-based vegan lifestyle for a decade. After curing her daughter's eczema and healing herself from low blood sugar, chronic fatigue, and blood issues with a unique and raw method, she furthered her studies and trained professionally with world-renowned master healers and studied yoga. Alchemia's work and lifestyle has been featured in prominent media outlets such as Huffington Post, PBS, NBC News, and was featured at the Obama White House with celebrity chefs Gail Simmons, Sunny Anderson, and Bobby Flay. Join us as we move into our April series with a fresh start for spring. All right, so let's welcome Alchemia to Talk Space & Co. So how are you today?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm well. All right, so, you know, with spring coming up, and I guess just kind of resetting ourselves and getting ready for the rest of the year that's been crazy already, we just kind of wanted to get into the topic about, you know, cleansing from the inside and really, I guess, detoxing and getting on a better track of eating and health and being more aware. So to start, what made you become more mindful of what foods you ate?
You know, when I was 15, I think I've always kind of been that child who went against the grain, was always questioning things, to be honest. My dad can attest to that. So when I was 15, I was kind of on this personal journey of just exploring who I was, and part of that journey led me to, you know, starting to eliminate certain foods through certain, you know, actual religious exposures, and that led to another, and I purchased this book, you know, well, first I gave up, like, you know, fast food, and it was really actually an intuitive process for me. You know, I had a part-time job when I was, like, 15 at Wendy's, and I was just kind of paying attention to the people who were coming in and just kind of reading their energy, because I'm also an intuitive, and, you know, as of now, I'm a master intuitive and energy practitioner, but it was really interesting just the energy that I was picking up from the people coming in, paying attention to deeper aspects of them, and it just intuitively, I decided to stop eating fast food altogether and drinking soda. And then I just, you know, wanted to learn more about, you know, what it was in me that was wanting to have this higher calling. Mm. And, you know, a few years later, I purchased this dictionary of food additives and preservatives. And I was just kind of blown away by what was in the dictionary. First of all, the fact that there was an entire dictionary with food additives and preservatives was kind of insane to me.
Right.
And I started studying, you know, and I wanted to know what these were, you know, how this was affecting our bodies, how it was affecting our mind, our emotional state. And so that kind of led me to even cleaning up, you know, my eating a little further. And then, you know, as I, you know, I became a mom when I was 19, and, you know, I'm a mother of five, and you know, a couple of my daughters were born with eczema. I was suffering from some pretty hardcore health ailments myself. When I was 12, I was diagnosed with low blood sugar and severe anemia. And my doctor told me, because I was already, you know, genetically predisposed to diabetes, that that's probably what it would turn into in my later years. And so I was just on this journey of, you know, trying to heal my body and desperately wanting to heal my daughter's eczema. She would wake up, you know, in the middle of the night and scratch until she bled. And, you know, I started, you know, studying natural skincare and seeing what I could put on her skin, which did help ease it a little. But I, you know, through further studies, I realized that, you know, health is something that starts from, you know, the inside. And that's kind of how my journey started.
Yeah. That part about eczema and in our kids, because my son had eczema as well. And I made that one switch of, you know, taking him off dairy and immediately saw change.
Right.
Yeah. How did you go about your detox from fast food and soda and things like that?
You know, it just for me was a process of elimination. You know, once I got, you know, once I became a mom and was just on this journey of, you know, trying to heal myself, heal my body, you know, I was getting to the point, you know, after I gave birth to my fifth child, I almost needed a blood transfusion because of how much blood I lost during my natural childbirth.
Oh, wow.
I just, you know, I kind of hit a rock bottom in my life. I was really depressed. I was leaving, you know, a very toxic relationship. I really, really, really wanted to heal. And so I just committed myself to really deepening my studies and, you know, realized that inflammation was pretty much, you know, the cause of most illnesses, underlying illnesses. And then I, you know, furthered my studies with, you know, world-renowned, well-respected energy healers and really learned the art of subtle energy body and just kind of connecting the energy world to the physical world and kind of merging the two together. And that kind of birthed my transition to going 100% plant-based and really focusing on whole foods and raw foods and alkaline foods. And that's how I healed myself and then healed my daughter.
Wow. I guess during your time, because you pretty much just have to do a lot of research and being intuitive as far as like knowing your body, knowing what works, knowing what doesn't work. While you were doing that, can you talk about the awakening of your mind and your soul during this detox?
Definitely. So, you know, for me, you know, a lot of it was intuitive. I would get these messages from just other realms, honestly. A lot of channeling would happen. I was sitting at an intersection one time, and I saw this truck turned in front of me. It was a semi-truck full of chickens. I believe that they were being transported to slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
They looked really sick, and, you know, it just, this overwhelming feeling came over me, and I channeled this entire kind of, like, vision of just basically what eating something that went through a traumatic, you know, life with torture and abuse and just, you know, no, we would never treat our own animals this way, I mean, let alone a chicken, but eating that, how it would energetically affect us. And so that was kind of the message that I received, and, you know, that was the day I gave up meat. And then, you know, of course, with my studies paired, I just, basically with all of that elimination, you know, I had also a really bad sugar addiction, And that was a huge awakening for me too, because it was causing a lot of issues with depression and chronic fatigue. And so I ended up just sort of cleansing completely. You know, I came across Dr. Sabi's work. He was a big influence in my life. So my first experience with transitioning was actually following his protocol, which is strictly alkaline. And then from then on, it was just kind of a process of elimination for me. I reached that level of sensitivity to my body to where when I started adding foods back in and kind of experimenting, I could immediately feel the effects that it had on me. So for instance, I gave up refined sugar for over a year, and then I remember, you know, oh, I was at Whole Foods and I saw like this vegan cookie, and yes, it was vegan, but it was not refined sugar free. And one bite later, I could literally feel my body changing.
For
me, it was just really getting to that level of sensitivity, and being able to feel my body again. I think we're all born with that level of sensitivity, and we become desensitized, you know, with the food we eat and thoughts and all of that. So for me, that awakening was a process. I use food as a gateway, you know, with my clients that I work with. It's a huge gateway for me to help them open up the higher realms within themselves, because these plants carry really, really deep wisdom. And living food does communicate with our bodies on a very, very deep level in a way that dead food and carcasses do not. So there's this beautiful conversation that happens in the body when we eat living foods. And, you know, it awakens parts of ourselves that were dormant, or that we didn't even know were there, or that we just haven't been in touch with since childhood.
Wow. So would you say raw is better than maybe sauteing or cooking or steaming?
You know, it's interesting, because I was raw for a while, and I kind of have a regimen that I've created now where it's like damn near raw. So I do, you know, 70% raw, 50%, 85%, depending on the season, sometimes all raw. For me, it's a very, very, it's very healing. I would say that it is, you know, food, plants, especially in their optimal state, when they're raw, are completely unadulterated and 100% living. I think the biggest benefit to raw is that, you know, when you're really looking to heal your body and really just rejuvenate and detox, it's going to get you there much quicker. Cooked food just comes with, you know, it's pros and cons. You're going to get the minerals, you're going to get the nutrients, but when it comes to things like antioxidants, when it comes to enzymes, and even certain vitamins, heat does, you know, when you take it through heat, it takes it through a process, and a lot of that is lost because those are unstable when it comes to heat. And also with fruits, especially like, you know, juices that we buy on the shelves, whether it's organic or not, 100% juice or not, it all goes through a pasteurization process unless you're going to like a juice bar to get it. And that's when we really see the changes happening. That vitamin C that you're reading on the label is no longer the amount that it's stating, because that was taken before it went through pasteurization.
That makes sense.
So for me, yes, raw foods are definitely really healing. I do not eat 100% raw. I just intuitively eat how my body is calling. And there are certain seasons where there's a definitely higher calling for that. In colder seasons, you know, I live in Colorado, so I crave like soups and things like that, and maybe a little quinoa. But I can always tell when I'm eating too much cooked food, because I get tired, I get sluggish. So for me, I just listen to my body, and I tell my clients, you know, I train them also just to tune into that intuitiveness too, because your body will tell you what it means.
Yeah, most definitely. I've been trying, and it's definitely like an up and down battle as far as like, okay, it's going, and then you kind of like fall off. How do you stay, I guess, consistent with it?
You know, for me, because I've seen the low, the lowest of the lows, I definitely know what a non-healthy lifestyle looks like. I know what it feels like. And because I came from that space, I just don't want to go back there. You know, and, you know, just like a lot of people in America on the standard American diet, and even in my specific family, most of my elders are suffering from either heart disease, diabetes, you know, high cholesterol, blood pressure issues. It's pretty much across the board. And by the time women, you know, were in their 30s in my family, even with just having a couple of children, you know, their waistline would expand. And it's just like it was a complete decline from there. My grandmother was diagnosed with, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia when she was, you know, in her 70s, and my grandfather. And her doctor told her that a lot of that, well, my family, when, you know, has said that a big part of that was because of the medications that she was on since her 30s.
Wow.
So I kind of wanted to be the anomaly in my family and show everybody that there was a different way. I'm the only one with five children, but yet I'm the one that has my health intact, and I'm the oldest of my siblings, and I look younger than all of them, and so I feel really blessed. And for me, it's just a matter of, you know, I don't want to go back to that.
Yeah.
How I felt before.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess, can we get into, you kind of touched on it, but I do want to get more into being, or that saying that goes, you are what you eat. I was reading in Psychology Today on your article about that time you, I don't think it was the cow fields, when you were driving through the cow fields. Can you tell me about that moment?
Yes, that moment was a moment I'll never forget. It was actually a little traumatizing for me. I was traveling to work, you know, driving from a part of California back to Colorado. And I just, you know, I remember driving. It was nighttime. And I remember, you know, it was reaching nighttime. And this smell, I could smell the smell. And, you know, I guess if anyone has ever driven through, like, really Colorado or any type of cow farm, there's a smell. But this was, like, a million times worse than what I've ever smelled in my life. And it's funny because I remember driving, and as I'm getting closer, it was getting worse and worse. And this is going on for at least 4 miles of travel.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up hitting this town, and I realized that I was in the center of this gigantic dairy farm. And I remember looking out of my window and seeing a sea of cows, just each of them lined up in little stalls. It was almost like a conveyor belt, but not moving, obviously. Each one in their own little stall, not moving, nowhere to turn around. And the sea just seemed endless. It reminded me of that scene on The Matrix when they're showing all of the, you know, the embryos, just like an endless sea. I couldn't even see the end of it on either end, both sides of the street. And it was an entire town of just cattle like this. And the smell was so horrific that it brought tears to my eyes. I just was trying to floor it to get out of this smell as soon as possible. I have never smelled anything this foul in my life. And it's because when you have, of course, this many cows standing in this small piece of land, the excrement that you're smelling, the off gas, it was traumatizing. That's how horrible the smell was. I remember asking myself, how do people even work in conditions like this? I could never, you know, imagine what it's like smelling this all day. It was just heartbreaking also to see, you know, just these cows standing there. And, you know, what I know about dairy farms, you know, is that they do, you know, they impregnate the cows. They force impregnate them. And then, you know, the mother gives birth, and then they immediately take her calf. And, you know, the whole reason they impregnate her is so that she can produce milk. And so instead of her calf enjoying the milk that she was, you know, that she's producing for her baby, that milk goes to our milk and cereal and our baking and all of those other things. And that calf never gets a drop of her milk, and it's turned into veal usually.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. And so, you know, and just like any other, you know, mother who has their baby taken at birth, it's heartbreaking for the mother. You know, the cows usually cry for 5 days or more wondering where her baby is. And it's just sad all around. Like I said, the energy that's created from that is not something that I, you know, want to, you know, bring into my body from the get-go. But yeah, that was a very eye-opening. I was already vegan at the time, already plant-based. But just seeing that firsthand, I've heard the myths of dairy farms, but seeing it and smelling it firsthand was very, very eye-opening.
Yeah, especially with the, I didn't know cows can cry. And just that trauma alone of, like, us as moms, like you said, being separated from our children, like, I didn't even take it that far to think that way. And then we go eat that meat. That's, yeah.
Right.
That's eye-opening, yeah, for sure.
Like slavery all over again.
Pretty much. What would you, I guess, when you put plants and meat together, like, what would you say, will there really be any pros and cons, or what is, like, plants versus meat?
Absolutely, yeah. I would say when it comes to plants, there's only pros.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have, you know, there's this myth that's going around that we can't get protein unless we eat meat, which is huge. If you study the meat industry, you know, when it went commercial back in the 50s, that was a huge campaign that was produced by lobbyists, and they put a lot of money behind it. And it was the same campaign sort of creation that, you know, the connection with calcium and milk. We had this idea of where are we going to get our calcium if we don't drink milk? And most people don't even understand that because cow milk is made for cow babies, mm-hmm. and we are not cow babies, that the actual, proportion of calcium and the ratio of calcium to, like, vitamin D and magnesium is not fit for human consumption. And so we're one of the leading countries with osteoporosis, but we're also the number one consumers of dairy products, and it doesn't make sense when we talk about this whole calcium myth. But mm-hmm. because we're not absorbing the calcium, you know, we need actual a certain proportion of magnesium present in the body and vitamin D present in the body and calcium all at the same time, and even other elements for it to be absorbed into the human body. Silica is actually what gets the calcium into the bone, and so if all of these things are off balance, it's not going to absorb properly. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're facing with this whole, you know, why am I not, you know, how do I get my calcium? And then as far as the protein myth, you know, our bodies pretty much generate everything that we need, and we are based, our composition is mineral based, not protein based. Mm. But you can get protein from anything. I mean, if we think about it logically, we go to these cows, we go to the, you know, chicken and the beef and all that for our so-called protein, but where do the chickens and where do the cows get their protein? From the alfalfa grass.
Exactly.
From the barley grass that they eat. And so we're just going to the middleman, to be honest. And when you go through the middleman, there's always a higher price to pay. And that higher price to pay, well, what I like to call a tax, is really a tax on your health. The side effects that come with that are cholesterol issues, fat issues, and a bunch of heart disease, and all of these things that we get from eating animal-based products. When we go to plants, or cut out the middleman and we go right to the source for the exact same nutrients that we're seeking to get from animal protein or animal products, we're cutting out that middleman and we're not taxed as high. So we're going straight to the source. Our bodies are better designed to assimilate it. If you look at any creature that's, you know, a natural habitat of the planet Earth, natural carnivores versus natural herbivores, all the carnivores have one thing in common, and not only, you know, we can obviously look at their teeth and their claws to show that they're natural-born hunters, right? Mm-hmm. But their digestive system plays a huge role in that. If you look at a tiger or any type of natural meat eater, their digestive systems are very short because that meat that they eat is able to pass through their digestive system within a couple hours of consumption. Humans have a very complex digestive system, you know, very similar to like a cow or anything else that eats plant-based substances, and that's because a complex digestive system is required to break down those nutrients in the plant.
Wow. You are definitely, because it's like people will ask, like, well, how can you go without eating meat? I can't not have meat. But it's just like, well, what are you really missing if you can't have meat? You know, like, if you could get these nutrients and these minerals from plants, like, I don't know. I guess it's more of a cultural thing or a society thing at this point.
Well, we've been taught that. It's definitely a society, cultural thing, you know. So, you know, whatever, you know, our programming happens mostly between the ages of 0 and 6. And then the programming that we're built with, our blueprint, as well, I like to call it, is built upon, you know, through our adolescent years as well. But our initial programming is when we're, from the time we're born to our young, young adolescent ages. And so whatever we're feeding our children is what we're going to be programmed to eat. I was programmed to eat, you know, macaroni and cheese and fried mm-hmm. chicken and collard greens and all of that, just like, you know, everyone else, and this fast food place and that fast food place and homemade chili out of a can and, you know, all of this out of a can. So I had the same programming that everyone else had. I think, you know, for me, I just had a determination and a willpower to seek a better way. I didn't want to be that person in my family that succumbed to what everyone else did, which was, you know, 10 medications. My uncle right now is taking 20 different medications. He's had a kidney transplant. He's a diabetic. My other uncle's a diabetic. My father has high cholesterol. So I literally have looked into the future of where I would be, and I just did not want that for myself, and nor did I want to pass that on to my children. Yeah. I wanted to break the cycle.
Yeah.
And I know that breaking a cycle is never easy. Breaking old habits, breaking old patterns, it comes with a fight. But I always know that in the end, it's worth it. And when we heal ourselves, we heal a generation forward and a generation backwards. So it's all about a mentality. You know, we have to be mentally ready for the change. we have to do it for the right reasons. I always say that our why has to be bigger than our fear, bigger than our habits and our patterns, you know?
Most definitely. So let's say I've been someone who has, of course, been eating meat, but then want to make the switch to do better and to eat better. How will cleansing my body internally manifest pretty much, I guess, externally as well, through either different relationships and even through parenting?
Right. So, you know, it's interesting because everybody has kind of their own vibration, their own way of doing things. But I always like to start people out with just a cleanse. A cleanse is a great way for you to commit to, you know, 7 days, 14 days, 20 days, or whatever. 7 days is usually what a lot of people like to commit to. But just a week of transitioning and going through something different really is eye-opening. I have a lot of clients that, you know, they come into this, they don't know where to start. And I say, you know, start with a cleanse. It's real simple. You know, you get a meal plan, you get all this, you get my coaching. But the results that they feel in just that 7 days is phenomenal. I mean, most people are like, wow, I never would have known that 7 days would have given me this gift, would have, you know, would have made me more energetic, or I feel this, I feel that, you know. So I think when people get a taste of that, that's when they want more. You know, it's kind of like when I first started going to the gym or doing yoga, you know, just, you know, there's that pain that comes with it, but, you know, the no pain, no gain is true. Mm-hmm. But the results is really what makes you stay and want, you know, why you want to keep going.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's just a process of unlearning and relearning. I was born, you know, and raised on the same four dead animals that everyone else was: beef, chicken, pork, and, well, maybe it was even three animals, you know, maybe some fish every now and then. But, and so the most common question I get is, well, what do you eat? And I'm like, listen, there's literally thousands of plants. And so I find that there's more variety now that I'm plant-based than when I was not plant-based. Because again, I was only eating the same three dead animals every single meal of every day.
Yep.
And most people eat the same dishes generally every week. And so it's no different with when you're plant-based. You have your go-to menu items, and then you, every now and then, you want to try something new.
Yeah. I guess, what do you gain clarity in once you cleanse your body?
For me, I was deep. I had a deep awareness of myself on levels that I, you know, first for me, I went through this for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But what came out of this gift of deep self-awareness, reconnecting with myself on a spiritual level, and just reconnecting with the real me, I would say, you know, plants bring such a gift of wisdom and healing that, you know, we might go into it because we're like, well, you know, I want to lose weight, or I have skin issues, or whatever your why is, right? But the gift that comes with it is so much more. For me, it was healing just toxic relationships, even.
Mm-hmm.
I found that the more I valued my health and the more I valued myself, other things around me, people, places, and things were also transitioning. You know, it was just this kind of phenomenon and this ripple effect that happened from within out. So, yeah, they bring this plants just bring a very, very, a very sense of deep healing and love. And, you know, again, you go into it with just this very shallow, like, you know, here's my health goal and I want to obtain that. But you get this gift that comes with it that you didn't even ask for, but you welcome it in.
Yeah. I also feel like since eating plants, it's a mood booster. Like, I don't know, you just feel better all around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because plants are very nutrient-dense foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of us are actually very malnourished, believe it or not. Our stomachs are fed, but we're actually malnourished.
Mm-hmm.
We eat to fill our stomachs. It's a very mindless process. So, again, this whole transition led me to just a more mindful lifestyle in general, learning to put myself first as a mother. I think as mothers, we always, you know, and as wives, as mothers, we have this giving nature, and that's what makes us such superwomen, is we're nurturers by default, and sometimes we lose the sense of who we are in that process. You know, we're always trying to be the best mom and trying to be there for our kids, and we lose that sense of ourselves sometimes in the
mm-hmm.
process, or we forget to, you know, put our masks on first. And so this was kind of a process, like a rebirth and a reawakening for me to understand that it's okay to put myself first. It's okay to take care of me, you know. And by doing that, by healing that part of me that I was neglecting, I was able to show up stronger, better, and just in general more loving to everyone in my family, everyone that I came across with. So, you know, when you're happier, you know, you pass that gift on. When we're not happy, when we're depressed, that's also contagious.
Yep. You know? I definitely agree. So kind of switching it up a little bit, you are a chef. What are some of the things that you feed your kids or even your whole family, and I guess some of their favorite foods as children?
So my husband now says I'm a chef. I just say I'm a food alchemist. and so for me, I just take something and make it better, you know, which is that process of transformation. I take the food through a transformation. I feed my kids what I eat. So mm-hmm. I make, like, you know, kale chips. I have a dehydrator. I'll make kale chips for them, cheesy kale chips. I love to make, like, loaded potatoes. So I'll do, like, a russet potato, bake it, and then I'll chop up, like, bell peppers, red onion, green onion. I'll add in a little bit of sauerkraut and kind of, you know, put it in there, stuff it in there. I love to make salads with, like, tons of stuff on it, like mandarin oranges, and I'll do chickpeas on the salad, and I'll make a coconut bacon and put that on the salad. I love like a sourdough with like mashed avocado on it, so I'll do like a balsamic glaze with avocado and red onion and kind of like make that into a meal. I made a stir fry the other day for my husband, so I did like a quinoa stir fry with like broccoli and onions and ginger and fresh orange juice. I made like a glaze. So it just depends. I do tacos. I do raw tacos. So I make a nut meat with like a ground walnut and season it almost like, you know, like you would your ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it like in a shell, or if I want it 100% raw, I'll put it inside of lettuce and make my own raw sour cream and my own queso out of cashew, all cashew based. And yeah, I get down. I make pizza.
It all sounds so good. Like, oh, I'm like taking notes, like, okay, I could do that. Because sometimes I feel like I run out of ideas, and all of what you just said sounds delicious.
yeah, it's a delicious life over here. For sure.
Yes.
No one's being deprived. I think a lot of people have this stigma too when it's like, you know, when it's time to hear about the plant-based life, and, you know, because it's new to them, they think it's salads every day.
Right.
I'm going to be hungry. And then they're like, oh, it's too expensive. And that's because a lot of people, when they do transition, they're going the processed route. So they're buying everything frozen, you know, the fake meats and
cheeses,
which can get very expensive. I do all whole foods. The meals I make, it doesn't take hours and hours in the kitchen unless I'm doing something like very complex, which I do because I just enjoy doing it. But most of the time, I'm like, tuck any other meal, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Some meals are 15 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
So I love doing, my favorite go-to is a leeked potato soup. It's one of the easiest meals. It's so fulfilling. It's so nourishing. It's so delicious. And it's just leek, onion, and potato. And you saute that up for 20 minutes. You add your bay leaves and your rosemary. And you put it in kind of a blender to kind of, you know, smooth it down a little bit. And then I add a little lemon and coconut milk to it. So good.
Oh my gosh, that sounds delicious. Yes. So I guess, to bring it all together, what is some advice that you can give someone who's, I guess, ready to cleanse themselves?
I would say just, you know, have your why ready. I always say, you know, whatever your why is, bring that to the table with you. And make sure that it's not coming from, you know, something that's fear-based, or something that's where, you know, fear-based meaning that coming from a very, low self-esteem or whatever. And a lot of women that want to do this is because they just want to feel more confident in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's because they do have an illness that they want to heal. I'm just saying, make sure your why is bigger than your fear, bigger than your patterns, because you're going to have your ups and downs. Just like with anything new that you start, there's going to be that uphill stretch, which is just learning. It's unlearning and relearning.
Yeah.
But that phase doesn't last forever. But if you have your why, like for me, my biggest why was healing my body, and I didn't want to, you know, wake up to my daughter every 2 hours with her scratching, and I could do nothing. I felt powerless.
Yeah.
So I was determined. And when you break through, you know, they say it takes 22 days to break a habit. I had a horrible sugar addiction, so I know what it's like to be addicted to food. But I pushed through, and I came out on the other side, and there's no looking back after that. It's a whole different life. You know, you break your addictions, you feel amazing. But I would say start before you try to run. I always say, you know, crawl, walk, and then run. You know, you don't have to take off running first.
Right.
It could be a process of elimination. Like, maybe you commit to this, letting go of this 1 week, and that's kind of how I work with my clients, because it should be a process that works for you. And you know, when you meet yourself where you're at and take yourself a little higher, your chances of success are better than if you were to just try to take off running or take off flying right away.
Most definitely. Is there a place where our company can get to know you a lot better or more, or find out more about you, like maybe a website, social media, all that fun stuff?
Definitely. So my website is alchemiaearth.com. So A-L-K-E-M as in mother, I-A, earth, like the planet earth.com. And that's where all my information is. I also have my other website that I run, which is just strictly dedicated to my cleanses, and it's ReadyResetGlowCleanse.com.
Okay.
So I have seasonal cleanses that run, and if they're 7-day cleanses, it comes with a meal plan. You get personal coaching from me. You get support from all the other people going through the cleanse. You get an action journal. And to be clear, these cleanses are like nothing else, because this is not just focused on the body. This is like also a mental transformation. So you get so much out of it.
Nice, nice. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, and getting us ready to hopefully our listeners to, you know, make a transition to just be better, like you said. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or hit follow and love on Spotify. And to stay connected with Mom Space & Co. and connect with today's guests, follow us on Instagram, tweet us on Twitter, and download the Mom Space & Co. app in the Apple App Store and in the Google Play Store.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.